Acts chapter 26. Paul's been arrested, finds himself finally before King Agrippa. Many things said here along this passage, among the which, something I mentioned last Sunday morning, that is. Verse 2, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Goes down and talks about how he knows King Agrippa is actually expert in all the customs and questions of the Jews and such. Notice he says down in verse 11, as a short testimony of his conversion. He said, I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. Not angry, but we're talking mad, okay? Crazy, mad, lunatic, mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Now, as he preaches and talks here for a little while longer, he finally rattles the cage of Festus, who is the governor, not the king, Agrippa, but the governor standing by. He rattles his cage enough that Festus just can't keep his mouth shut. Verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. There's that mad thing again. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to you here this morning, and your finest servant here was accused of being mad when he wasn't. He admitted to having once been mad indeed. I pray, Lord, you might consider these things, and as we try to apply these things to our lives, may you, Lord, bless, help us, Father. If there is somebody here lost this morning, may you deal with their hearts about these things. If there's a little bit of a skeptical note in a Christian's heart about some of the things they're asked to do, Lord, may you help them with that as well this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is Paul's testimony before Agrippa of how he got saved and his subsequent ministry. As you can see there, Paul started out, as you know, a Pharisee. And as a Pharisee, by the way, a star Pharisee, a rising star among the Pharisees, kind of their right-hand executioner, executive officer type guy. He was as far from being a Christian, probably, as you can get. He was extreme against Christianity, as you well know. The Bible says there he imprisoned them and compelled them to blaspheme. There is no question that Paul was a terror to Christians, as far from being a Christian as a man can be. Then in Acts chapter 9, you know that he got saved, actually became a Christian on the road to Damascus. So he went from one extreme suddenly to the other, and really, by the way, beyond that, because not only did Paul get saved, but he became the apostle of the Gentiles. I mean, when Paul got saved, he didn't just get saved and sit. I mean, he sold out and went all the way into the thing so that those former Pharisaical friends of his former handlers among the scribes and so on, I mean, they didn't even know this guy anymore. It went from one extreme to the other. Absolutely extreme. That said, here, he said, now look, I once was a madman. He said, I was crazy, I was mad. Festus said, you're still mad. Much learning doth make thee. And he said, oh no. He said, I'm not mad now, I was mad then. All right? He was accused of madness. Back in Acts 24, he was accused of being a heretic. I don't question for a moment that he must have been accused at one juncture or another of being devil-possessed. The Lord Jesus Christ was. I'm sure he was called a cult leader. Probably was said that he hated people. In our modern era, he would have been called probably a terrorist and perhaps even a traitor. Okay? Went absolutely extreme. As far as a Christian in pagan Rome, as far as a Christian in 30 AD, nobody could be further from Judaism than a sold-out Christian. Nobody could be any further from pagan Romanism in that culture, in that society, than a sold-out Bible-believing Christian. That said, got news for you. A heartfelt, Bible-believing, sincere, zealous, sold-out Christianity now in America is viewed as a nest of crazies. We've now come to the day that we're the crazy ones in society. Now, I got news for you. Our Bible's always read the same way. We didn't change. Society moved. A Christianity that used to be moderately accepted in society for morality and genuine general spirituality, society has now moved away from us, not we from them. And by the way, society, culture, whatever you call it, gets crazier and madder by the hour. Not the week, but by the hour. Now, I say that to say that sometimes I think maybe you don't think, some of you don't think that I really comprehend what a vast chasm, what a vast gap there is that exists between your average family member, somebody in your family that has never been to a Bible-believing Baptist church before, the average co-worker that you work with, maybe your average childhood buddy. I'm sure that some people here probably think, well, Brother Stevens just doesn't, he preaches all the time, and he preaches hard, and he says things that are controversial and at times antagonistic and that sort of thing. He probably doesn't understand if somebody comes in here from the outside just how wacky Brother Stevens looks. I want you to know I do understand. I do understand what the perception is. I do understand there is a genuine culture shock for somebody coming in Blessed Oak Baptist Church on the average Sunday morning or Sunday night and getting preached at from the Word of God. Now look, I've always preached the Word of God the same way. And guys before me did too. We haven't moved. They moved. Your family and your co-workers are in worse shape than they were 20 years ago. And they've now been inundated by information from 1,000 other sources. And it's not us that's changed. It's not us. It's not me that's being reactionary. It's the fact that they have moved so far that this looks like a complete nest of wackos. And I want you to understand, I understand how that comes across. I told you last week about Sean, the girl who thinks she's a guy in a girl's body. Okay, now, I understand that what we stand for on the average Sunday morning, Sunday night, is unfathomable to Sean. I understand that. I met another guy on street preaching on Friday, black guy, and he's walking past. I said, can I give you a gospel tract, sir, something to read? He said, what is it? I said, it's about Jesus Christ. He said, which Jesus? I said, the Jesus of the Bible. He said, oh, you mean a white Jesus. I said, no, Jesus wasn't white. And by the way, he wasn't black either. He was brown or yellow. I said, he was a Hebrew of the... Oh, no, Jesus was black. All the Aborigine people were black. Jesus was an Aborigine. Now, we stood and talked for about 7 or 8 minutes. And, I mean, this guy was so far gone. We didn't almost fight or anything like that. But, I mean, he was unreasonable to the point where, no, the Bible doesn't say that. It says this. Here it says it. No, that's not what the Bible says. And, I mean, it was, I don't question that for somebody like this fella that we're a complete nest of wackos. I understand that. To PETA people for the ethical treatment of animals, for the average gay activist, for the average vegan, I know that we are to them nutcases, crazies, and completely mad, okay? I know how they think of us. Simple reminder, I'm just trying to live by the Bible. I'm just trying to draw my precepts and my judgments from the Bible. I'm trying to actually adapt my thinking to God's thinking. And if that makes me crazy, I'm not sure what that makes you. But the fact of the matter is, that's all I'm trying to do. That, again, that used to be acceptable in society. It did. I don't know that Thomas Jefferson was a Baptist or that he was even saved, but I can tell you this. He held to some principles that were Christian in principle, even if he wasn't a Christian. And it wasn't that long ago in this country, folks understood that adultery was a shame. And folks understood that the bastardization of children is a shame. They no longer understand that anymore. Okay, all I'm saying is that it's man, it's society, it's culture that's moved. And as they move further and further, we look crazier and crazier. Okay, I understand that. What we believe and what we practice is actually nutcase material for the actual guy that's walking down the average guy walking down Nicollet Mall. I understand that. However, I will tell you this. Absolutely everybody that you know has come to conclusions about creation. They may believe it's a theistic creation. They may believe it's evolutionary. Everybody you know has opinions about morals. Stealing, lying, cheating, fornication. They all have opinions. They don't all agree with me, that's for sure, but they all have opinions. Everybody has come to theological conclusions. Everybody believes something, yea, nay, or indifferent, about heaven, hell, and God. Okay? That said, I want to preach to you a message this morning called Observations About Nutcases. And you're going to have to make up your mind whether those observations apply to me or whether they apply to you or somebody you know. But I've been stricken these last years by certain precepts and principles and things that are true across the board, whether folks will acknowledge them or not. I'm going to make some observations about nutcases, okay? First thing is this. I can tell you something about yourself. If you're skeptical of what I'm saying this morning, I can tell you something about yourself. I can tell you something about the most agnostic, most adversarial person that you know. You will walk by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, we all know that's how Christians walk. We Christians, we crazy nutcase Christians, we believe stuff about creation. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth from nothing, spake it into existence, right? That makes us nuts. We believe that Jesus Christ came and shed His blood for our sins, that we believe in a God that's invisible. We believe in a need for a new birth so we stay out of a hell that we can't see yet, so we can go to a heaven that we've never seen yet. And we believe in a Savior that we haven't seen yet and can't prove as such scientifically is true. Okay? That makes us nutcases because we're walking by faith, right? Here are the Stuarts, the Letharts, the Hazards. They all leave their country to go to a foreign field by faith that God has told them to do something like that, right? Here we go and make ourselves look like complete nut jobs on the street by hollering at people. Makes us nutcases, surely. We believe a lot of stuff that we can't see. I got news for you. Everybody walks by faith. Everybody does. There is not a soul that you know that doesn't walk by faith. Now, just let it soak in for a second. I'm telling you that the most confirmed, adversarial, contrary atheist that you know, or that you don't know, walks by faith at least as much as I do, and I believe far more than I do. At least I have the consciousness of looking out and seeing a design in creation, which indicates a designer, right? Those guys believe there is not a God, cannot, but it takes more faith to believe what they believe than me. They walk by faith every bit as much as I walk by faith. And since we're mentioning that, how about science? I got news for you. Contrary to popular opinion, science requires an awful lot of faith to believe some of the stuff that it sets forth. I'm with Brother Spurgeon and Brother Gipp. I've blown up a lot of stuff in my day. Nothing that I ever blew up came back together in the air and formed anything put together. Evolution? Really? A Big Bang? And everything came together, including all the protoplasm and the cellular functions and all that? Really? 300 billion years ago? 400 billion years ago? 500? Really? You can't even tell me the truth about what happened 100 years ago. Wormholes? Besides the ones in the ground? I mean, fourth and fifth dimensions? Really? See, it takes as much faith to believe some stuff that science puts forth as it takes for me. Sean. She gets out of the shower in the morning. She stands there, a girl, in a girl's body. Looks like a girl, talks like a girl, smells like a girl. But she's made up her mind and she is so happy because she has finally determined she's a guy in a girl's body. Tell me, a standing before a mirror, how much faith that takes. Oh, no, no, I'm a guy. Really, I am. Really. How much faith does that take? Did you know that to the average Catholic, God is Catholic? Right? Did you realize that to the average guy that's ambivalent about eternity and heaven and hell, that God, to him, is just as ambivalent as he is? You realize that somebody that believes in that kind of ambivalence is walking by faith as much as I am? You realize I believe that God is zealous, jealous, righteous, holy, and angry most of the time, but merciful to His children and merciful to sinners. I believe that with all my heart. The average guy that is ambivalent about heaven and hell and eternity, he believes, he walks by faith that God is just as ambivalent as he is. Everybody walks by faith. You don't know anybody that doesn't walk by faith, at least as much as a Christian does. I believe that with all of my heart. You have people that say, oh, I don't worry about all that stuff. I just believe it'll all work out and it'll just come out in the end. You're exercising a lot of faith walking like that, pal. Right? Oh, there's no afterlife. You walk by faith every bit as much as I do. So, one observation about nutcases. Everybody walks by faith. You may think I'm a nutcase. I may think you are one. I got news for you. Everybody walks by faith. Who's right? You have to make up your mind. I'll tell you something else, and this is kind of an adjunct to that. Because not only will you walk by faith, you will believe somebody. You will believe somebody. Us nutcase Christians, we believe the Bible, right? Oh, well, don't you know, Brother Stevens, that man wrote the Bible. Man translated the Bible. Man corrupted the Bible. Man mistranslated the Bible. Man messed it up. This black guy the other day on the street, he said, that's the problem. Man touched the Bible and messed it up. So you don't even know whether Jesus is black or white or whatever. Okay? But man messed up the Bible. Well, I want you to know something. I don't believe something. I believe somebody. Okay? I believe that God inspired and through men wrote or spoke words that I still have. I believe that God preserved the words that He wrote and spoke miraculously so that I can read them. I believe that in spite of man, that God gave me those words. I believe that God got involved in the process of the translation of those words. So I'm telling you, yes, I'm a Bible believer. I'll be the first to say it, but I want you to know that in the end, I believe somebody, not something. I take the Bible to be God's Word. I believe somebody. Say, what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? Well, what I'm getting at is this. People pretend to be completely objective. You'll run upon somebody somewhere along the way and they'll pretend that they have come at this whole issue of life, death, eternity, and salvation from a completely objective scientific viewpoint, and they've studied all the facts and they've come to their own conclusions by observing factual scientific stuff. I got two things to say. One, you ain't that smart. Two, you ain't that original. And I'll add a third. You, like everybody else, will believe somebody else. In the end, you'll believe what somebody else says. Evolutionists do not believe the facts of evolution. They believe what somebody wrote about evolution. Got news for you. This is a human trait. Atheists did not each one examine the evidence and determine there is no God objectively. They read what some nutcase said and decided to quit thinking right there and believe him. Sean believed what somebody said in the end about what she is. This guy that I talked to, I said, I'm preaching the Jesus of the Bible. He said, oh, you mean the white Jesus. I took him back really bad because he wasn't expecting what I said. I said, no, Jesus wasn't white. I said, but he wasn't black either. Gave me that puppy look, you know. And I said, Jesus Christ was a Jew. He came from Shem. He didn't know who Shem was. I didn't try to explain Ham. I said, he came from Shem. I said, Jesus Christ was a Hebrew. He was a circumcised Jew. He was born under the law. He was a Jew from the day that he was born. And he just would not receive. He just, no. And then he got off onto these aborigine things where all the native people are aborigines. Jesus was an aborigine in Canaan and all this stuff. And I'm like, wow. There was no need to talk anymore. Why? Because he believed somebody. He said, oh no, the Bible doesn't say that. He believed somebody. There was a guy we met down there the other day too. We walked the first corner we were on, Marcy and I. And the guy was standing there. He was actually a gay activist. He was on a campaign to help the gays who have all lost their jobs because they're gay. It only took him just a moment or two to tell us that he himself wasn't gay. I came back to him in a little while after my voice got tired and talked to him for a second. I said, what do your stats say how many gays in America are unemployed because they got fired because they were gay? He said, oh, we don't have any stats. And I said, well, you said you weren't gay. I said, how did you wind up here doing this? He said, well, I was a student at UW-Madison. And that's exactly where you go. You know what he did? He believes somebody in the sociology department. He's not thinking for himself. He didn't come to the conclusion objectively and scientifically. He believed what somebody said. Now, don't get high and mighty because everybody believes what somebody said. I believe what somebody said. I believe what God said. I do. So on top of you will, whether you admit it or not, you will and you do walk by faith. You will believe somebody. Furthermore, that somebody will become your final authority. Believe it or not, I did contemplate and study at great length and with great expense, by the way, for 5 years, evolutionary theory and science. I went to college for 5 years and studied evolution. I memorized comparative anatomy between sharks, amphibians, and mammals. Oh, it was a joy to be able to go through and name bones that don't even exist in me anymore. But through the evolutionary chain, they were there all along. Anyways, I was well-grounded in evolutionary theory. Then there came a day that I decided that I believed Genesis 1:1 instead. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, like I said, I believe somebody, that's for sure, that somebody will become your final authority, just like my somebody became mine. I believe what God said in Genesis 1:1. There was a day I actually have contemplated the claims of homosexuality. I didn't say that I had considered becoming one. I said I have considered the claims of homosexuality. But then one day I read Romans 1. I believe somebody. That somebody is my final authority. At some juncture, everybody stops thinking and stops searching and stops being completely open-minded. At some juncture, you get tired and you just believe somebody. Now, where you stop and believe somebody, that's your final authority. That's what I did with God. Okay? There are still things in God's book that He said that I'm still thinking about, trying to figure out how they fit together. Okay? But as far as what God said, that settles it for me. That is my final authority. I don't care what science says, believe it or not. I don't care what it ever discovers about homosexuals. I don't care if it says it discovers a genetic link. What God still said is still true. Everybody walks by faith. Everybody believes somebody. That somebody will become your final authority. Unfortunately, many people stop thinking when CNN comes on. And their final authority is a news network. Or their final authority is some cute professor at college. Or their final authority is a lifelong chum. Or their final authority is some twisted religious charlatan that wouldn't know a Bible from his left toe. Everybody believes somebody. That somebody will become your final authority. So I don't know who the nutcase is. I believe God. I believe God gave me a Bible. You believe Stephen Hawking? Help yourself. One of us is a nutcase. And I guess time will tell which one. Right? Now, I'm going to freak some of you out on this next one. Okay? Again, these are kind of built on one another. I'll tell you something else. You will be brainwashed. You will be brainwashed. Now, I know the initial, because I know what the preconceptions are about brainwashing. Sean, the guy in a girl's body, is brainwashed. Through a combination of her own self-deception and listening to a bunch of nutcases, she's brainwashed. The black guy that I talked to that could not accept that Jesus was not black and that he was not white, but that he was a Shemite, we couldn't even talk because I couldn't even open a Bible without him yelling and, you know, trying to close the Bible on me. He's just been brainwashed. He believes somebody else. They put a bunch of stuff in his head and he's not moving. He's brainwashed. Now, PETA people are brainwashed. We see gay activists down on the street on Thursdays and Fridays every single time we go down to Nicollet Mall. They stand around in little green things and they're trying to take surveys. Okay? They're all kids. They're brainwashed. Now, when I say that, let me just say this. You do understand that soldiers, noble for profession, soldiers are brainwashed too. Cops are brainwashed. Hostage rescue teams are brainwashed. Firefighters are brainwashed. It's not natural to run into a building that's burning. But by their education, their training, and their discipline, soldiers and firefighters, HRT and SWAT team members and cops, and to some degree, lawyers and doctors are brainwashed by their training, their education, their discipline to do things that the normal person wouldn't think about doing. That's brainwashing. Okay, they've been trained, they've been disciplined, they've been educated to do something a certain way. That's brainwashing. If that's brainwashing, I want to say, I am brainwashed, and I'm laboring every day to deepen that brainwashing in the Word of God. I would like to wind up by the end of this life thinking just like Jesus Christ. I would like to one day look at things just exactly like Jesus Christ looks at things, because I have the mind of Christ in the Bible. I am told I should subject myself to it every day, that it will build me up, and that the second thing that will build me up is praying. And in praying and reading the Bible, I become brainwashed. Brainwashing can be a good thing. It can also be a bad thing. Whether it's good or bad will determine whether I'm the nutcase or whether somebody else is. These are observations about nutcases. Right? I got something else to say. You will serve and follow someone. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. He didn't say, choose you this day if you will serve. He said to choose whom you will serve. The reason why is you're going to serve somebody. Now, we're accustomed to hearing soldiers say they served in Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. They serve. We're used to cops saying they serve the public. We're accustomed to politicians lying and saying that they serve the public, whether that's even true or not. Well, I do know. But on the average, service, serving somebody, is service is kind of a thing that's gone past the scope of the average person's grasp. The average Joe, the average plumber, the average sports fan, they don't say much about whom they're serving. I tell you what, you're going to serve somebody. You say, well, you look crazy out there screaming at people on the streets and, you know, messing up people's fine lunch hours as they sit out and eat their sandwiches outside, and you go down there on a sunny afternoon and ruin everything for them because you're hollering at them. Well, I'm serving God doing that. You may not appreciate it, but I am. I tell you, you're going to serve somebody. You'll serve you. You'll serve you, if nothing else. And I got news for you about that. If you're not born again and you don't have a Bible, and if you are born again and have a Bible and don't receive Bible training, the chances are about 10 to 1 that you're going to wind up serving the devil. You'll get sucked into some left field issue and get busy fighting some battle that the Lord never even intended you to fight. You could wind up, I know Christians that wind up doing crazy things like standing down the street and picketing for PETA or whatever. You can get sucked in that way too, because the devil's convincing. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And the fact of the matter is, if you're not serving God from this perspective and with preconceived, punctual steps by these precepts, the fact is you're going to wind up serving you. If you wind up serving you, you're probably going to serve the world. If you're going to serve the world, you're serving the devil. You're going to serve somebody. And I'll say this lastly. You will serve with zeal. Now, I know what people think. I know how crazy it appears to the world that Brother Jeff and I and some other rest of you other men will go down and, again, disturb a perfectly peaceful street corner by starting to yell. I know it looks kind of crazy. I know what people perceive when they see two people walking down the street side by side on a Saturday with Bibles in their hands and go marching up one driveway to the door after another. I know what the perception is because I watch Mormons do it. I watch JWs do it, and I know what they think. I know what people think. I know what the perception is when your neighbor looks out the door and sees you going to church three times a week, except sometimes you go more. I know when your family and your coworkers watch you turn 180 degrees and become spiritually sold out, and when you become zealously spiritually involved somewhere in church, I know what they think. They think you're a crackpot. They think you're a nutcase. Okay, that's fine. I know we look like fanatics to some. We didn't move away. Look, I'm backslidden half the time. I'm not doing half of what I probably should be doing. If you think I'm a fanatic now, you should see what the Lord wants me to be. The fact of the matter is, you will be zealous about something. You will be fanatical about something. I bet before you got saved, I bet you were zealous about some stuff. I bet you ate, breathed, slept, and drank Vikings football for 6 months out of the year. Or maybe it was Twins baseball. Or maybe it was Wild hockey. Or maybe it was Timberwolves basketball. Why, I don't know, but I bet you did. And the fact of the matter is, folks, there are Christians that'll look down on somebody preaching on the streets and going door to door and knocking on doors and disturbing people's Saturdays. And they will, with absolute zeal, pursue summer water sports every single weekend and never even give God a wave. You know? Who's the nutcase now? See, you're going to serve something zealously. You really, really will. If it's not that, I know people, if you walk across their yard, they'll sick their dog on you. Your yard, your God? Really? I mean, I'm the nutcase for trying to deal with people's eternal souls, and your grass gets bent, and then you get bent out of shape? You'll build your life around your grandchildren. I have another grandchild being born this morning, Lord willing. I love my grandkids. I know people who build their lives around their grandchildren, ruining their grandchildren. You know? And failing grandchildren, they'll build their lives around their poodles being their children. Don't disturb Fifi. She's sleeping. She's taking a nap. Shh. See, you'll mock a Bible believer on the street, passing out tracts and raising his voice. You'll mock him and despise him and deride him. Get in your car, go home, park in your driveway, get out of the car, close the door, glance down, and oh! Somebody banged my door at Walmart! Ah! I can't wait! Storm in the house, put on a pair of jeans and an old t-shirt, come out and try to get that thing out of your car door. Who's in that case now? Really? Who's in that case now? Did you know I have never had Vikings horns on my head? I have never painted my belly purple. Much less have I run around in public looking like that. Who's the nutcase now? Because I'm telling you something, you will walk by faith. You will believe somebody, that somebody will become your final authority. You will cite them over and over again. Furthermore, you will be brainwashed. You will serve and follow someone. You will serve with zeal in something. You will zealously, religiously, make something sacrosanct. It may be your yard has to be perfect. It may be that your car has to be spotless. It may be that your poodle must be trimmed. But you will serve something with zeal. But we, nutcases that yell at people on the streets and try to pass out tracts, we're the real crackpots, right? These are observations about nutcases. See, the deal is, Festus says, Paul, you're as crazy as a loon. Much learning doth make thee mad. Fact of the matter is, Festus believed something, believed somebody, and served that somebody with as much zeal as Paul did. It was just another god. Now, who's the nutcase? Paul or Festus? Here are the maniac of in the Gadarenes. Jesus Christ casts the devils out of him. The devils go into the swine. The swine run down the hill and commit suicide. The Gadarenes then are very interested in Jesus Christ leaving the country. Now, who are really mad? The maniac is sitting clothed in his right mind. The people left behind are the ones that are crazy for running Jesus Christ off. Now, who's the nutcase? Right? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray this morning that you will make these things real to us. There's somebody here that's wrestled with these things, and perhaps there's a Christian here that fears the reproach, the spite that can come our way. I bet for one reason or another there are folks here that have jobs that their cohorts, their fellow students, their families perhaps from the past, scoffed at the time that they should go that direction. And yet they are afraid, having accepted that kind of mockery and spite, they're afraid to death of being spitefully treated and thought of for a zeal for Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, this morning you might help us to think about these things, and each time that we're tempted to pull back a little bit, may we be reminded that we will indeed serve something and somebody with zeal. We will believe somebody. If there's somebody here that's lost, may you deal with their hearts about the fact that they have believed somebody. They do serve somebody with zeal, even if it is themselves. Father, self is a pretty rotten god. We have a Savior that bled and died for our sins, rose again the third day, has promised us eternal life. I pray you'd help somebody to see that this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 478. Stand.
anybody here that's never trusted Christ, I hope you'll consider coming and consider well that you will indeed believe something. You will walk by faith. You will serve something, somebody with zeal. Everybody's a fanatic for something or another. Don't you want to be a fanatic for the right thing? Maybe as a Bible-believing Christian, you've gotten a little lax and forgotten the fact that it was a promise that we would be despised and rejected and thought ill of by the world. It's become a popular theme that we should be acceptable with the world, that we should make ourselves more acceptable to them, that we should appeal to them and desire their approval. They're wanting to be like us. It's not true. It's not true. Father, I pray you'd bless this morning as we are just about ready to be dismissed. Father, we heard the Word of God this morning for 2 hours now. I pray you might use these things as we go our ways. Father, may you inspire us to do more in this late hour. It's dark, very dark out. Lord, a little light goes a long way, Father. We ought to be trying to put out as much light as we possibly can. May you inspire somebody here to do more. Most would admit that we do too little. So, Father, I pray you'd help us to labor to do, that we might do more in these closing hours. This last little stretch is a sprint. Help us, Father, have strength to sprint. Pray these things in Jesus' name. On the last stanza. Appreciate y'all being here this morning. We'll be back at 5:30 tonight for prayer meeting, 6 o'clock for service. Hope you can make it. See you then. Don't forget the books on the back, all right? Good morning.